Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's half time again. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Favorite holiday of the year, guys. I think it really gets screwed because right after Halloween, we go right into Christmas. People are buying trees. So I love Thanksgiving. You get that 4 days off all the time. And, man, oh, man, it's so great. And I hope everybody had one, a good one. It's a Gross Misconduct podcast hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend. I believe he's in Phoenix today, Kip Gross. We'll find out. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, 30 minutes goes by quick. blogtalkradio.com/ Mancini Sports Podcast Platforms. Wherever you subscribe to podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in his place, hand off the mic. Kip, the threes, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And, man, we're going to give the Turkey Awards today. Next week it'll be the first annual Smack-Off, so that'll be a good one, too. So, man, great to reconnect with you, man, after last week and, you know, the big Thanksgiving and the Black Fridays and all that. Now, before you say anything, to me these Black Fridays are a joke because it's stuff that was left in a warehouse in April and mid-May, and then we're going to have 80% deals. You're not getting breaks, guys. Come on, man. I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking on that, but I'm just going to lay it like it is because we shoot from the hip on this show.
Well, Mark, first of all, I do want to say I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving because it is a really good holiday. You know, you're giving thanks to so many things in the past, and, yeah. And you know, I've got a lot of things to be thankful for. So, yeah, I'm in Phoenix right now. Hopefully I get back to Newport soon enough, but yeah, kipgross.com is one way to get a hold of me, and beagamer@gmail.com. Just got to let everybody know, the first time in my entire life, I completely cooked Thanksgiving dinner this year for some in-laws. And
wow.
It turned out really good. Made a turkey, made stuffing, did the mashed potatoes and gravy, did it all. I do have to admit, though, I messed up the gravy. First time ever trying to make it, so I had to go to store-brand gravy, but it all turned out really well. My girlfriend helped me out with so much this year as far as preparing it, so it went really, really good. So yeah, let's get after it and have some fun today, Mark.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you're a better cook than I am. See, usually it's, you know, one of those fast food things, watching my diet and or a restaurant or something and paying, you know, $40 for a, you know, an entree that's for a mouse or something. So, yeah, that's you know, thank God my wife cooks. And Dalen coming in out of Chelmsford, Mass, an avid listener, says, guys, I love your show, and it's always nice to have a girl by your side, whether it's a girlfriend, a wife, or whatever, especially in the wintertime. It keeps the heating bill down when you're sleeping next to her. Okay, Dalen, I didn't think of it that way, but, yeah, okay, the heating bill will be good then if you have a significant other.
That's good, Dalen. That's a good one.
Hey, we had some football. I thought of you against Iowa, and I said to myself, I'm feeling pretty giddy now. Here comes Alabama. But the college system looks like nothing's really changed here. Washington squeaked by. Oregon and Washington will settle that difference here Saturday, 5 o'clock Pacific time. But I'll tell you right now, keep your eyes. Alabama's going to figure out a way to get into this thing. I don't know what your take is on it, what your take is on Nebraska. I told you Michigan would take out Ohio State. They know how to run the ball. They get physical. Ohio State kind of kept even with them, but Michigan just seems to have their number, and Michigan's going to probably win this whole thing. But I don't know where you want to go on the college football scenario, brother.
You know what, Mark? I watched that Alabama Auburn game, and I was absolutely shocked at the end of the game. They're on the 32-yard line, have to score a touchdown to win the game, and they only rushed two guys to the quarterback. I mean, it was basically backstreet football where you can't rush the passer at all. Everybody just goes out and runs all over the place till somebody gets open. They actually had three guys rushing, but the one just stood there in the middle of the field doing nothing. If I'm the head coach of a football team and I've been defensively beating this team pretty much the entire game, I'm going to stick with what works and not just let this guy stand there and pick out a receiver and throw it. And plus, how does the receiver get behind the defender back there in the end zone? I don't get it. Anyway, Alabama, they seem to do it one year after every year, one way or another. And you're right, they're probably going to figure a way to get into it. But here they are this week, underdogs by 6 points to Georgia. But who knows what's going to happen there? I mean, you got there's some really good teams still out there that they're going to have a tough time with this spot in four teams for the four to get in the tournament, because there's just way too many teams out there. Florida State's number five. They're looking in. And even if they win, they might not get in. So it's a tough one this year. But, yeah, Alabama, you keep doing it, and the good teams do it that way. So I can't say anything bad about you.
Yeah, and you know what? To stick on that point, Nebraska and Penn State are a year away, man. I think those schools are going to do some damage next year. I like the way Nebraska came up short against Iowa, but I like the way they're playing. You know, they're competitive, and I haven't seen this in quite a few years with this Nebraska team.
Well, Mark, I'm a big, big fan, obviously. I went to school there, season ticket holder since 1984. You know what? I got to give credit where credit is due. Iowa has one hell of a defense. I mean,
they
gave up 75 yards rushing and only 189 passing to Nebraska. Yeah, Nebraska's offense has been decimated this year with injuries. I mean, 8 out of the 11 players starting this year for Nebraska are sophomores and freshmen, with the majority of those being freshmen. And most of them were just thrown into starting roles because of all the injuries. They were decimated. So, people are down on Nebraska because we didn't get to a bowl game. But I got to tell you, people, you know what? The first thing Matt Rhule does when he comes into a program is he gets his defenses right. And Nebraska had one of the best defenses in the country this year. Yeah, we got absolutely manhandled by Michigan. But, guys, Michigan is in another class. They really are than most of the football world out there in college football. So, if you're going to go just by that one game, I don't know what to say, but Nebraska was in every game this year. We just don't have the players right now with the experience to go out there and the development yet, because we're so young. 101 or 102 out of 145 guys on the roster this year were sophomores and freshmen for Nebraska. So that tells you where we're at. But like I said, credit goes where credit's due. Iowa's defense is just incredible. We're going to see how they do this week against Michigan. But, hey, like I said, Michigan's a different class.
Yeah, Albert from Poway coming in says, guys, I love this show. Can't get enough of you. And I hear right after this show, Peter Ray has Mickey Callaway, former manager on his show. And I think he was a former pitching coach as well, if I'm not mistaken, Kip, right?
I'm not sure about that, Mark, but the name sounds familiar.
Yeah, Mickey Callaway. So that should be a good one. Just, and we appreciate your interest here, Albert. Lance coming in from Pensacola says, you guys don't listen. I told you, watch out for the Cowboys. We smacked your Redskins or whatever you want to call them, Mancini. And the Raiders have fallen off a cliff. The Cowboys will be in the Super Bowl. Maybe I'll have you two guys serve some tailgate food outside, turkeys to be exact. Wait, Lance is having fun with us.
Cowboys
ain't going nowhere
during the season. We got no problem with the Cowboys during the season, just like we got no problem with the Dodgers during the season. It's the postseason that matters out there, guys. Yeah, they beat Washington 45-10.
Oh,
Dak Prescott had a great game. You know, he threw for 330 yards and 4 touchdowns. But hey, you know what? You got to do it postseason. If you want to be really great out there, you got to do it the postseason. And the Cowboys haven't done it since Aikman wore a uniform. So that tells you where the Cowboys really are.
Well, not only that, the Skins being my NFC team, man, I don't think Ron Rivera's right for this job. And, you know, I don't know. I know the health problems and I want to be sympathetic there. But, man, oh, man, this team just – I think they're just going to have to overhaul it. During the offseason, they're sitting in last place. They're like 0-5 within the division. They haven't beat the Giants, and the Eagles swept them. And now they'll get one more crack at the Cowboys, the last game of the year. But this is a team that's really, really besides themselves. I will tell you, in the beginning of the year, a buddy went to Vegas. He said, pick a team in the NFC to lay something on, $5-$10. I said, okay, put it on the Falcons. The Falcons right now at 5-6. Or the third team sitting there, they're leading the NFC South. Hey, who knows, man? That's a team that can go into Detroit. You talk about Detroit, man. They got smacked on Thanksgiving. I thought your Raiders were going to do something. They took a 14-0 lead, Kip. They came up short. But what's going on with the Chargers? There's so much to talk about in the NFL, and then we'll get into the MLB and we'll get into our Turkey Awards. But, man, oh, man, the AFC, and I said this 5 weeks ago, and it's rightfully on these shows, saved. I think we're heading to an Eagles-Ravens kind of Super Bowl, a battle of the birds, as much as I hate to say the Ravens. But those two teams are playing the best football, and I know week in and week out things change, but until those two teams get knocked out, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, you know, the Ravens, I mean, just what you're saying right there, the Ravens and the Eagles are kind of in a little different class. And, you know, when I watch football on Sundays and Thursdays and obviously Monday nights, I look for the teams that are consistent. You know, whether they win or lose isn't always the case because, you know, you got, I mean, just take a team like San Francisco. You know, they got a really good quarterback in Purdy. You know, McCaffrey comes out every week and just does damage. And, you know, to me, if the defense can hold up in the NFL, you're going to have a winner on your hand. And that's one thing that the Eagles and the Ravens have. And the Ravens have just always been known for defense, and that's why they've always been up there in the standings almost every year. You know, and it goes to show you that, you know, most people look at the offensive side of the football just like they do in baseball. But if you don't have a good defense, you're going to give it up all the time, and that's one of the problems with the Raiders. You know, we just always haven't had the best of defenses all of our in our years of playing, and then when you get a guy like Crosby that gets hurt and he's got a bad knee, it 100% showed this week how we couldn't rush the quarterback like we normally do, and when you can't rush Mahomes, I got news for you. It's not going to end up pretty for you at the end of the season. That's what happened with the Raiders this week. Again, the defense just couldn't quite get it done.
Steve from Corvallis, Oregon, coming in. He said the problem, Kip and Mark, with the Raiders is they haven't had a good coach. It's too bad John Gruden got let up. But you can go back to the Art Shell days, the Tom Flores. Passive coaches have coached them. They need somebody like the John Madden and the John Gruden type of coaches. You know what? I can agree with him on that one. I remember the Floreses. I remember the Shells. But I think the Raiders played that Raider mystique football when it was Madden and Gruden, wouldn't you say? I mean, you're a big fan of them, so maybe you could shed some more light with Steve out in Corvallis.
Steve, I'm 100% agreement with you on the coaching. There's no doubt. There's no doubt, you know, when they fired the coach and brought the other guy in right now, It sparked. It threw a spark in on the team. It really did. They've been playing a lot better. I mean, it's a completely different team. There's no doubt. I mean, we actually look like a football team playing against the Chiefs this week, which is something we normally don't do. It's like the Chiefs are playing a high school team most of the time out there. But yeah, you know what? When you got like Madden and the Gruden, you know, they're old school guys. I mean, God rest his soul with Madden, but. But, you know, he's got the best winning percentage in all of football over his 10 years. He was a coach.
Yeah.
And then you got Gruden come in. People said he's old school and his style of football doesn't work in the NFL anymore. But guys, you got, you know, a guy like that, he's a winner. And that's what he does. He brings winning attitudes to the teams, and he doesn't allow teams to lose. And over time, that's what he's always done. But you know what? We're doing the Turkey Awards this week, and I just wanted to throw a shout-out to John Madden because he's the star of the whole thing with on Thanksgiving, putting out the legs of the turkeys to all the players. And, it, you know, it's a fun thing to see that tradition on TV year in and year out, even though he's been gone for a long time. So shout out to John Gruden. I mean,
the Turkey Awards.
For what he did all over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
Joey, we'll take one more. We'll get into Major League Baseball. Joey from Bucks County says saw the Steelers had a spat, in-house spat that was – kind of out there. Is that good or bad, Kip? Did you ever see anything in baseball? And basically, the team that kind of kept it in-house was the New England Patriots. Is that good or bad when that kind of stuff gets out? Yeah, I Kip, I'll give you the floor, and then I got something to say because I think the Steelers as an organization should have kept that inside like the Patriots. Obviously, it got out. It sprinted out. A couple guys got in a heated argument. It's probably the course of the season, but you still want to keep that in-house. And he's basically saying, have you seen that in your 12 years career?
You know what? It should never ever get out of the clubhouse or locker room. It should never, and that's one of the reasons why the Patriots have been who they were over all the years, is because you don't know what's going on with that team. You just don't. You don't know who they're gonna play. You don't know who they're not gonna play. Every week with Bill Belichick, everybody is questionable on the roster every week, and it's right. I mean, I don't know if he's gonna play. He might get hurt, so he always did that. But guys, I'm gonna tell you right now. I was on the 1990 Cincinnati Reds world champion. We won a World Series, and that team was so cohesive and so together. We'd walk in the clubhouse, and they'd play the song "Can't Touch This." Every win, everybody's having a fun. It was a great 1991 comes around, and it's a completely different team. And I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but you guys know who I'm probably talking about. There was a fight in the clubhouse with the manager and a player. I was right there in front of it. Got out to everybody, and that's how that 1991 team was. People didn't get along anymore because you know, people thought they should have been getting paid when they didn't have the time, blah, blah, blah. And just attitudes and little arguments like that could completely bring down a team. And in football, oh, my God, I can't even imagine what those guys do in a clubhouse in a locker room with big guys here, and this guy over here is a kicker, and this guy over here is a defensive back that weighs, you know, 195 pounds, and then you got your 350-pound lineman. I mean, I honestly would love to get inside a clubhouse or just for a week or so in the NFL and just see what these guys go through. So arguments and anything that gets out in the media is just not good, no matter where you're at, what you're doing. That's for sure.
Yeah, you bring up a great point, and mine's not on the level of what you accomplished and everything, but I remember playing hockey, and I was superstitious to the point playing goalie that if we were winning, I wasn't changing the outfit. And to this day, my wife says, man, 7 weeks without washing that jersey when we went on a winning streak. But we lost one game, Kip, and the locker room came unraveled. And there's going to be a common influence on these things. And I've always been the type where life is peaks and valleys. And what you try to do is kind of lower the volume down. It's like any job. You get on a job, somebody pisses you off or something. It's just you got to get the earplugs in. You got to look at these people as pylons in a highway. You go around them, get the ice in the veins, smile, and that's all. Because once you get into that thing where, you know, you start yelling and this thing sucks or that thing sucks, it just escalates it, and people look at you. And when you're faced with adversity, just that calming effect, I think what ended up happening, we got past that. We ended up winning. We won the championship. And honest to God, I got the MVP award for the, you know, being the top goalie that year. The next year, I couldn't stop a beach ball. But I think it's just that calming effect of being somewhere in that locker room just to say, you know what, we're going to go. Everybody goes through this. It takes a long time to get up a mountain. Let's not roll off overnight and be like everybody else. I mean, I don't know what you would say on something like that, Kip, but I'm sure you have your views on how you'd calm it down. But, yeah, you keep that stuff in because people are trying to sell fish wrap and to get it out there and everything, and then it just becomes an issue every day in the locker room. I can imagine how tough that would be.
You know what, Mark? The whole thing starts and finishes with the managers and the coaches. And that's one of the things that a manager has to do is they've got to regulate and keep that even keel going throughout the season.
Yep.
And not get those peaks and valleys like you're talking about. One of my favorite players that I ever played with, Barry Larkin, Hall of Famer. You never did see him do anything high or low ever, you know. I mean, go watch his highlights. Even when he did something great, he came in, didn't really have a smile on his face, you know, high-fived everybody, but, you know, got in the clubhouse, he did his job. You know, he went over to players and said, good job today, good job tonight, all that stuff. Oral Hershiser was another one. You know, it didn't matter if he had a good game or bad game. Barry rarely had any bad games, but those kind of guys are the guys that you kind of look up to and want to learn from. And then you got your flip side of the coin. You know, you got some of your guys that it's every play, every throw, every pitch, every at bat. You know, it's good or bad, and you know those guys can't do it over the long haul because they're so emotional about everything they do instead of turning what you just did that wasn't good into a positive. They dwell on it, and that's where all this comes from. You know, guys get pissed off throughout a season, and then they bring it to the rest of the team. and then the rest of the team's got to deal with it. And that's the problem with professional sports and amateur sports also, is when you've got to deal with a player that's either up on himself or down on himself when it shouldn't be either or. You should just all be teammates and work together and bring the team together and win as a unit, not as an individual.
Well, and not only that, you bring up a great point, because I told a leader one time, you're a leader. Don't fall into the trap of everything else. And it's a boost of confidence. And it starts to look at things different, because there's so much negative in the world. We all know that. But if you can trek through it and block all that noise out, it doesn't faze you. And that's the thing. A lot of people, and I think if you take 20 people, maybe 17, 18 out of 20 can't do that. Those other two guys are going to block it out. And, you know, I always tell people, they go, what's the secret? I said, I study up on these guys like Brady and James and Kobe Bryant and find out what made them tick, and then kind of put that in my everyday life. And that's how I look at it. Hey, Major League Baseball, the Cardinals went out and revamped. They brought back Lance Lynn. They signed Sonny Gray. They brought in Kyle Gibson from Baltimore. They said, hey, you know, last place finish doesn't sit well here in St. Louis. We're gonna do some things. The Dodgers, gave Jason Hayward $9 million. We haven't seen much noise from Ohtani. I'm gonna tell you this, you know, Kip, and you know where I stand on this. I figure just before Christmas we'll hear something out of L.A. that Ohtani's going to go to the Dodgers, and everybody's going to get excited, and then we're going to talk about another division, and then we're going to find out Ohtani's not going to deliver a title in October. The Dodgers will be bounced again. And here's the thing where I use the cliche on the Ohtani thing. Even though he's good, he didn't do enough to get the Angels to a World Series. I don't know what he would do with the Dodgers getting him a World Series. The only thing I can see is maybe the money in L.A. Transforming into Japan and stuff like that, where it'd be more money for the Dodgers. But like you said before, it's all about the money. More or less, you know, maybe it's not about the rings here in L.A., but maybe it's bringing Ohtani in. But I don't think he's going to make much of a difference. He can't pitch, and they need pitching.
You know, first, before we go on with the Ohtani thing, I just want to say something about Sonny Gray. When he came up as a rookie, I remember telling people, this guy is going to be really good one day. And the reason I said that was because his mechanics are so sound. And every pitcher that I have known over the years that turned out to be a good number one or number two pitcher, they have all one thing in common. That's great mechanics. And, you know, he had a few down years in between as he was getting started. But now Sonny Gray's turned into the workhorse he always could and will be the rest of his career. So, and then we get on to Ohtani. You know what? I don't know. I honestly don't know anymore where he's going, what he's doing. I mean, the guy's making $60 million a year right now through endorsements and all that stuff in Japan and here in the States. So I don't know if money's going to be a deciding factor for him. But, you know, you hear these numbers from $50 million to $100 million a year. You know, guys, I can't buy into that. I can't do it. You know, when Trout signed that big, huge contract, first thing I told people, the Angels are done. They're never going to win again. And everybody's like, why? I said, you can't pay one guy that much money on a team and expect to win, because who else are you going to pay now? I mean, the owners only have so much money. Yeah, they're all billionaires. I understand that. But at the same time, they have budgets. And when you're a single owner like Art Marino is out in L.A. and Anaheim, he's about filling the seats the best he can and selling merchandise and keeping the fans as happy as he can by keeping Trout in town. They should have got rid of Trout long, long time ago.
Yep.
Now they're going to have problems getting rid of him. And then the other problem is now you got Ohtani, who's not pitching because he had surgery on his arm. Where do you go with him? Is he ever going to want to pitch again? Is he going to pitch again? You know, people are saying, hey, let's make him a closer. Well, I got news for you, people. Being a closer is harder on your arm than being a starter. As a starter, you can regulate what you do. You know, you only pitch once every 5 or 6 days. Today, six days in today's world most of the time. But you gotta get yourself on a team that believes in you, and you gotta believe in yourself. Obviously, Ohtani does these things, but I hope he goes to a winner or he stays with the Angels. That's all I can say. And we're gonna see where it takes him. But wherever he does go, I don't think they're gonna win. I just don't think, because they're gonna face so much money out. So That's where I stand with Ohtani.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take one more of these guys. Terry coming in from Arcadia said the Angels have always been losers. Everybody they get comes in there and just can't seem to turn the corner. Case in point, Mo Vaughn falling down dugout steps first game, and then now you start to see what's happening with Rendon there. Brought him in after they won the World Series in Washington. He has done nothing. I kind of disagree in somewhat, and I know we're going to get into Turkey Awards here in the next minute, but, Kip, I think with Ron Washington there, that's the best thing they've done so far to start this whole thing, because that guy is a proven winner, and I'm with you. I wouldn't sign Ohtani for this. One guy's not going to do nothing. Get rid of Trout. Let Ohtani walk. And you got a good pitching staff there with some of these good young guys that got a year under their belt, a couple years under their belt. You bring Ron Washington in there. He'll surround himself with the Chili Davises, the hitting coach and stuff. I like the makeup. Give him time. The Angels will contend. He knows the division inside and out. But you're absolutely right. You know, I'm all for the players getting all the money, but I'm not for a guy to give him $600-700 million, and the rest of the team is, you know, on the back of the bus.
That's exactly what would happen. You know, you've seen it time and time again, unless you're one of those teams like the Yankees, you know, that have unlimited resources. And, you know, back in the day, they had the superstars. I mean, the Yankees at one point in time, I could have managed from when I woke up in the morning, put a hat with the names in the hat and pull them out one by one. That'd be my lineup for the day. But that's how good the Yankees were for a long, long time. Ron Washington, he's super, super well known in the baseball world. Been a defensive guru his entire life. He's always been on good teams. Players love him. So, you know, we talked about, the managers out there that are players' managers, and like Dusty Baker, and they just seem to win. And that's what you got to go by. And when you have those types of managers, it gives confidence in the clubhouse, gives you confidence on the field, because you always know where you stand. That was one of the things with Lou Piniella. You know, I was talking to somebody today about it. You always knew where you stood with Lou. You know, it wasn't like, God, I wonder what he thinks of me today. I wonder what. No,
right.
Lou would tell you if you stunk today or not. He'll tell you if you were good today or not. And he's going to say, take it, but tomorrow let's come back and better ourselves because of whatever we did today. And those are the types of managers like we're talking about with Ron Washington. That's what they do. And those are the kind of guys I think you're going to start seeing more and more of instead of these analytical guys that they're bringing in.
Hey, Turkey Awards, I'm going to throw two of them out there. And this is the people of Philadelphia and the people of Baltimore who have ridiculed Jalen Hurts, who is like 21-1 as a starter. Kid, you know, played in Alabama, then he transfers out of there, goes to Oklahoma. And, you know, then he comes back into the Philadelphia, has to earn himself, just the morale of this kid, the drive of this kid, learned it from his dad. And then Lamar Jackson betting on himself on the contract. These guys in Baltimore and Philly, they didn't want to give these two guys money and ridicule these guys. You guys get the turkey awards, the ones that sell the fish wrap, the ones that go in those locker rooms and start ripping these two guys. You guys are the ones that are getting the turkeys, not Jalen Hurts and not Lamar Jackson. How about you, Kip?
Well, my turkey awards this week, I've got to give love from Green Bay some loving, because, you know, what he's doing over there, he had a great game on Thanksgiving. You know, he threw for 268 yards, two touchdown passes, beat the Lions. We always know the Lions play well on Thanksgiving. I got to give Dak Prescott, I said before, four touchdowns with 330 yards passing. And then the other one I've got to go back to again, which I think they're going to be a force to be reckoned with sooner or later in the playoffs, is the 49ers. You know, they got a quarterback in Purdy who just seems to win. It's what he does. You know, he's the last pick in the draft, Mr. Irrelevant. And then they got that guy that's McCaffrey in the backfield who can do anything. I'm surprised he don't play defense. He just as good as he is in what he does. So those are my turkey awards, and it's fun to watch these guys, you know, on Thanksgiving play football, because they're giving up their Thanksgiving to come out and play football, and they entertain us on TV during Thanksgiving while we're cooking and having a few drinks or doing whatever. And so I really like that Thanksgiving day for football. I really do.
Well, as we wind this up, give me a sure shot and don't be surprised.
Well, guys, I'm gonna say that my sure shot this week is going to be Oregon over Washington. You know, they play Friday night, and it's a huge, huge game. Oregon has to win it, obviously, to try to get into the Big Four for the tournament. And Washington is just a tough, tough team. But I've been watching Oregon all year long, and their defense is so much better than it always has been in the past. And they could very easily be undefeated right now had the head coach not tried to go for it on fourth and long from his own 35-yard line. But, you know, he's just one of those coaches that has a tendency to do that once in a while. But they're my sure shot this week, Oregon over Washington.
Well, I'm not going to give you the don't be surprised. I'm going to give you two sure shots, and they reside in the state of Pennsylvania. My Steelers are going to whack the Cardinals. And I know you're in Arizona, but this is going to be probably an ugly game if that offense in Pittsburgh, who knows if it's snowstorms out there or whatever. Pittsburgh is going to smash the Cardinals. And I'm going to tell you right now, I know you're high on the 49ers, but reality is going to hit them in the face in Philadelphia. I think Philly beats them. And this should have been the Sunday night game instead of Kansas City, Green Bay. This should have been the flex thing where we had San Francisco, Philly. I like Philly because that defense, I think they're going to corral McCaffrey and everything. I think the 49ers are in for a, you know, this ain't Seattle, and we're not in Kansas, Dorothy. This is the Eagles, and I think the Eagles defense is going to really stop San Francisco.
Yep, it's going to be a great game, no doubt about it. 49ers are favored on the road in Philly by 3 points, which is a shocker, but you know what? Those guys in Vegas usually have something to say about all these games. So it's just going to be a great game to watch. And you're right. That should be the 6:20 game on Sunday.
Yep.
And not at 2:25. And well, that's here in Arizona. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I honestly think they should change some of these game times during the week and just change them for, you know, the game and how big it is, but they don't do that. So I don't know why, but it probably has to do with logistics and tickets, but probably that's why.
I know we're out of time, and our buddy Lance is reminding us about the Thursday night showcase. Seattle's at Dallas. Well, I don't get Amazon Prime, so I won't be watching that, Lance.
There you go.
Hey, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, Kip, as we wind this thing down. I know to remind everybody the week of Christmas, that 24th, we are off that week, so take note. We'll play an archive thing on that. So just let everybody know that whole week, everybody gets the week off to be with family and friends, so that'll be a good one. And then we'll be ready for 2024. So the floor is yours to let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, my brother.
Mark, beagamer @gmail.com and kipgross.com are the two best ways to get a hold of me. And I hope everybody, again, I'm going to say, hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving this last week and thankful for a lot of things. Sometimes you got to look around this world and around this country and see what other people have. And it makes you understand how blessed you really are as a person in this world sometimes, living in this great country. And That's what I got to say this week. So hope it was a great podcast again today, and can't wait till the next one again.
Oh yeah, that'll be the smack off, and I'm ready to put on the Boom Boom Mancini trunks, go 12 rounds with the Dodgers on the smack off next week. I'm sure you're gonna go after somebody too, so that'll be a good one. Maybe it's Oklahoma, who knows? Well, the Nebraska and Oklahoma rivalry, but we'll get into that one next week. For Kip Gross in Phoenix, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, thanks for making us a part of your Tuesdays each and every week. We'll talk to you next week. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Love you. Love you, Kip. Talk to you next week, my brother.
See you all next week, everybody.